Let us pray. Heavenly Father, again, we want to express our appreciation of your love and devotion to us, your mercy and yours forever, your kindness, O God, which we would never have been able to approach unto you. Now, Lord, may we with all sincerity and sobriety approach your word tonight as laid out by a prophet and by your Spirit, Lord. Be able to know exactly what he says with every word, Lord, having the meaning that it was intended to bring to our hearts and our minds, whereby we have life feeding upon it, Lord, that we may enter into the gates of eternity with you. So, Father, we just pray you'll give us a simplicity tonight and a due reverence, Lord, that should be yours. And as we talk about these things, Father, may we just be geared down very calmly, coming into that rest spoken of, and just enjoy your presence, enjoy the truth, enjoy everything, enjoy each other, as we're told in Scripture that we would have fellowship one with another as we walked in this light, and you are that light, Lord, we are walking in. All is in Christ, and walking in that light, have fellowship one another in the blood cleansing us. So we commend ourselves to you for a joyous time of worship in the Word. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You may be seated. Now, last Sunday we saw an example of how Christ was the principal theme of the Bible, wherein it was shown how the prophets portrayed Christ by their very actions. And such an example was Moses the Deliverer, who himself escaped death as a baby under Pharaoh, even as Jesus did under Herod. Of course, there are many other things that were typed out there, too. There was Joseph, hated of his brethren, loved of his father, put in prison, and then raised to the king's right hand, even as Jesus Christ was. And all through the message, we were given to understand that God's great mystery was made known to a degree, but waited for the full revelation of Christ, which would be in this hour and for this hour. And that brought us pretty well to page 32, which we're making a repeat to bring us up to a very, very important part of the message. So I'm going to start reading on paragraph 5 of page 32. And he said, all those things typed him, but yet the mystery was hidden. In other words, there's no type could fully reveal it, and no parable. It would have to be somewhere down the line what you would call a literal face-to-face revelation by him who was the one to be revealed. Because after all, it is true that nobody can reveal himself out like the person that is revealing himself or herself. You can have a very good marriage, but let's face it, there's no woman is known of her husband and no husband is known of his wife as that individual knows himself or herself. And unless that person wants to actually, like poor old Samson, just bare the heart, the other person's not going to know. So that actually this is a heart-to-heart revelation where God, as I've said before, in a very vulgar way, lets his hair down and spills his guts. Now, that's a terrible way to say things, but this is the 20th century where if you don't tell people, you know, that he got kicked in the head by a horse, he'll go down the road swearing it was a pigeon or something. And so I'm sorry that I've got to use language that's rough, but that's all there is to it. Now, it says the mystery was hidden. Those men didn't even know what they were doing. They only knew that they were led by the Spirit to do something. And he was holding it back, that is, God was holding back this revelation for the last days, for the great revelation, but expressing it nonetheless. In other words, he was expressing it in a measure, the same as one day there would come a time when the measure would give way to the fullness, just like we had the seals. It isn't that the seals weren't always involved, but the literal truth and the fullness could not come until this certain hour. We'll read that later on again, too. Expressing himself in Moses and David and Joseph and Elijah and on down through. We could take each one of those prophets and bring their lives out and show it expressed Christ, Jesus Christ, perfectly, exactly, yet never giving his secret in full, waiting for to make it known in the last days as he promised, waiting for it to be fully comprehended before he could express it. Now, that's like we read in Dr. Wiest in 1 Peter 1 and 5. It was that faith for a salvation ready to be revealed. In other words, a revelation concerning salvation, ready to be revealed in the last season, which is epical and strategic in its significance. So therefore, this revelation of Christ is epical. It means it could only happen at a certain great time, like a crisis. It's strategic. It gets us out of the crisis and in its significance. Most people today cannot understand, and I have to repeat this. I've said it so many times, sort of in my own thinking, that many people hearing what we are teaching here are not getting it. And I'm getting reports back all the time confirmed. They simply don't know what we're saying yet. And I don't know how I'm going to get it across to people, because it can't be the same old tired message. It's got to be new. And if you're hearing something that isn't new to you, not worth seeking for something new, but if it isn't new, then you know something is wrong. Now, let me read this again. We could take each one of those prophets and bring their lives out and show it expressed Jesus Christ perfectly, exactly, that's in the measure at that time for that hour, yet never giving his secret in full. That secret is the full revelation of the mystery in three parts. All right. And remember, one of them was not Christ in you, the hope of glory. It wasn't. It was revelation, preeminence, and back to Eden. Of course, that takes a lot. waiting for to make it known in the last days, as he had promised, waiting for it to be fully comprehended before he could express it. And like I said before, when you talk about this mystery that God wanted to bring, and it had to be brought to the bride, then there was a need in the bride to receive it, but also the bride was able to apprehend and to comprehend. Now what he's saying here, the bride before this hour could not comprehend and apprehend such a message as this, a revelation, no way possible. So what is the message of the hour? It is a revelation of him. And then he tells you what is how it's all done. And if that doesn't blow all these other things aside of Christ in you and all this other talk that has become worm-eaten, dust collectors, moth-eaten, full of wiggle tails, dead manna, I don't know what I'm talking about. And I'll be honest, I don't think the prophet would know either. Because I think we have the same kindred spirit. Now, he told the whole thing. Because the Bible's written in mysteries, Jesus thanked the Father for it, that it was written in mysteries. But always there's a certain group to understand the mysteries. Paul said those that are perfect. In other words, they're thoroughly initiated into the things of Christ. The disciples said, why do you speak in parables? He said, because it's given only to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom. So there would be a certain people who would be able to understand certain things that are going on. And at the end time, that applies especially to the bride in this hour here. Now, let's watch very carefully the next paragraph. Now, the coming of the Lord is in mystery. We don't know when he's coming, how he's coming, but we know he's coming. Did you not hear the same prophet say, oh God, send us that great prophet. We don't know Elijah's coming. We expect him to be coming. Then he turned around and said that he was Elijah. Now, either William Branham was a farce, a phony, and a liar, and putting some kind of a stupid deal, or either he was commanded of God to keep the thing in the way it was in a balance of a mystery. Now, I'm not asking you this question. Is this then the same type of thing that Brother Branham is saying here that he said about himself? Let's find out. And so were all the mysteries of God waiting for this last day. Same as that coming one. After it's already been completed, then he reveals. So there's no way that we're ever going to get a revelation of the A part, the coming of the Lord, until he's already come. Now, if you're going to put that into the physical coming, when we meet him in the air, then it tells you there's no way you're going to know that you're caught up until you get there. That could be true for all I know, but I doubt very much. So what is he talking about? In my estimation, he can only be talking about what he's talking about later on, which is a face-to-face, the same pillar of fire, bringing this revelation as it brought before. Now, you just bear along with that. Read it again. Now, the coming of the Lord is in mystery. We don't know when he's coming, how he's coming, but we know he's coming. Well, all right. What about the fact we know already about the rapture? And what about the other? We know about that too. Or are we mixed up concerning, is he coming on a white horse or a white cloud? Maybe the white cloud is for us to take us up in the air, like those lights, and then we come back on horses. That's scripture. So it doesn't cut to me. This cuts on the same it's always cut. He's talking of the present now, what William Branham is involved in. And I want to know who was that. Who was that in there? I wonder who those seven angels were. He said one materialized. Or did he mean they just became visible? Well, if he meant visible, he shouldn't use the word materialized. Or he should have explained it.
After all, you expect something out of a prophet. Not gibberish. And look at, in a time there's light. God doesn't send a man to throw mud in the water and to pull a curtain down so the sun can't get in. It's that people don't understand what is being said. Once you understand what the central theme is or what it's all about, everything will fall in line, but not before then. So you just can't do it. And I'm going to stand on what I believe, because I'm duty bound to. Now he's coming. The coming of the Lord's a mystery. We know he's coming. And so are all the mysteries of God waiting for this last day. And it's already been completed, and it's already been completed. Then it's, after it's already been completed, then it's revealed. He shows what he's done. Oh my, never gave his mystery in full. Do you think you could sit at the wedding supper and they need an explanation? No. No, I can't buy that. I'm looking at now because he's speaking of now in his involvement as the revealer of the great revealer. So therefore, to be strictly correct, and this is of the Holy Ghost, and we believe this is literal Bible, then it had better be what we're saying. See, you simply can't go 14 different ways. What about Revelation 10 and 7? He came down and nobody knew it. It was explained. Amen. First Corinthians 13 and 10, that was just perfect as come. Who knew it? It already come. It was there before us. And then explained. See? So there's no contradiction here. It's just like this comparing the seven seals. We'll use that as an example of anything. Now, when God used Martin Luther for the coming out, for that first church age, that church age, and when he used John Wesley for that coming out, he gradually brought them out and was revealing in them that church age. Then who brought us out of this age? William Branham. All right. What was being revealed in him? This church age. Oh, and ask you, where was the ministry of Christ? He said, I'm not the pillar of fire, he, the Son of Man. The pillar of fire is not the Son of Man. It's in the form of the Holy Spirit. All right, there's the pillar of fire. There's William Branham. Neither one is the Son of Man. Now, where is he? Well, that's not hard. It's the same Holy Ghost. There aren't a half a dozen of them. It's one. What's he doing? He's operating through an individual where God is revealed in human flesh again. Now you see what the words of a man cannot do. You see, Christ's ministry returned to earth. The prophet was not the Son of Man. He revealed the Son of Man. So we're looking at that. But in these last days, then he trails his voice off. Wesley portrayed his. Luther portrayed his. Martin portrayed his. Paul portrayed his. What does William Branham portray? William Branham has got to portray the end time, the final, the summing up, and the head. The reason that was such a tremendous thing that he spoke of it here. Now listen, the reason that was such a tremendous thing that he spoke of it here and showed those seven thunders. He's talking about seven thunders, and remember he's likening this here to the mystery of the thunders, and he's already told us that this comes out of the thunders, that this supersedes the thunders. What the thunders was all about was this. This one here, and you getting the revelation. Now, the reason that this was such a tremendous thing that he spoke of it here. Where is here? In America. In Branham Tabernacle. See? Under the seventh seal. My Life magazine. There, packed that circle of cloud and light. There that they could not understand and don't know it yet, but here telling. All right, there it is. What's the explanation? Go there and wait for those mysteries to be revealed. This has to do with the seals. And he said, Christ is the seals. And here months before it happened, and then it happened exactly to say he would do it. So God did it, said he was going to do it, just like the Bible said, turned around and did it, and the prophet explained it. See? Just like Brother Branham said, I wasn't the one. He said that tells those things that perfectly. He said the prophet simply reveals the Son of Man. All right. Did you notice in that picture, even that angel on the right, when he was being materialized, coming down with his wings back and his head setting sideways. Seven spirits from before the throne. Seven church ages, each one represented. As he said in the rapture, take there's a representation above. And what was the seventh angel? The one for him. Who was in the midst? Christ, the picture. Each one, a portion of the Holy Spirit, bringing up the entire. And you ought to know that because he said the first day, oh, what a mistake I would have made, but the Holy Spirit swept in the room. Under the seventh seat, talking to Charlie Cox, he said, Charlie, did you get it? I was hoping you people might grasp it. He said, what was it? It was those seven angels. What? Make up your mind. Is it a horse? Is it a bear? What was it? The Holy Spirit materializing, bringing on a form. Devils can do materialistic things too. It's commonly known how it was done in Brazil, and they could lock, one fellow made things materialize. Set the people sat right out there, and they locked some cigars in the clothes closet. The man did his mumbo jumbo, the cigars formed right in the table. They went to the clothes closet, the cigars were gone. Said his mumbo jumbo, the cigars went back. Anything can happen. So you better know your Bible to see what's happening is according to Scripture, what the truth is. Now, notice him materializing, he's explained. Now, just exactly months before it happened, told here that he's going to bring the body of believers together to reveal. Okay, we saw that. Those seven angels have a part in bringing the body together to the believers. All right, 2 Thessalonians. Seeing it's a righteous thing with God to recompense tribulation to them that trouble you. That's verse 6 of chapter 1. And to you our trouble, relax with us. Relax when? When the Lord shall be revealed from heaven with these mighty angels. Now notice there's two things they're going to do. They always do two things. You can't have the one without the other. The judge blesses and curses. Mount Abel and Mount Gerizim, you cannot get rid of one, no way, shape, and form. You cannot speak a blessing, but there's a curse right there. You cannot speak a curse, but there's a blessing right there. Parallelism of Scripture, I call it. Call it what you want. That's my name for it. In flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God, that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Notice the gospel is linked with these seven angels around Christ. The gospel of the kingdom. Matthew 24. They will not obey it. Who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord? That's the face of the Lord. That's his face upon us today. That's his bringing the judgment. And from the glory of his power. When he shall come to be glorified in his saints and to be admired of all that believe because their testimony among you was believed in that day. Now he's telling you, these are the events that occur at this time. What time is that? Revelation 10, 1 to 7. Ephesians 1, 17 to 23. They're all concurrent. Now he said that the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you. No, I read verse 11. Wherefore also we pray always for you, that our God would count you worthy of this calling. Praying the same thing for Ephesians. And fulfill all the good pleasures, goodness, and work of faith with power, that the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you, and you in him, according to the grace of our God, and the name, and the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice he speaks of the name. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ, and by our gathering together unto him. Now that's the gathering at this time. They're coming together. And notice how they're coming together. They're coming together under the precept of being told where the error lies, that you soon not be shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by number one, spirit. Oh, there's lots of spirits coming on the land today. And they'll tell you how they got thus saith the Lord and everything else. Oh, yes, they're just full of the Spirit. And by word, they've gone past the Bible. Or by some letter, they know something. Like Demas has got this letter from the Armenians. And they're depending on it, what it's going to show. It'll show nothing. It'll show nothing. If it does, it'll be too late because they're scared to look at it. Some secret writing. Some church got this or that. Because don't be shaken. This will be brought in the open and explained to you. See, for the end time. It's an end time message. Trust we never forget that. Now, here came Luther through. He only preached justification. Just pounded away at that age. He didn't know what the age was. Here came Wesley through. He pounded his age through. See, lots of our false teaching come from that age. And false churches. The other church is bringing up. And here came Pentecost pounding away. And the organized went right back into death. We'll get that in a few minutes, right back into death. Now, this is going to be a current message of pounding. Now, people didn't like the hammering. The Catholics didn't like Luther's hammering. The Lutherans didn't like Wesley's hammering. The Wesleyans didn't like Pentecostal hammering. And now they hate this hammering. Just pound right away. My brother Brown said, hammer the nail and clench it. They don't like it. See? Now, this has to be current. And the people cannot be deceived. Why? because the seals are open and the book is open. Then comes the revelation of the mysteries to reveal what it's all been about. Where those little doctors like Luther brought in catechism, everything else, and Wesley brought in this and that and the other, and other things. Pentecost brought organization just the same, and Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, and baptism and things, not knowing any difference. Then comes back in the last days and picks it all up, picks up all the mysteries and explains it and clearly explains it, reveals it. Why? It's all of the last days when this great mystery that God had in his heart is being revealed. So there you got a picture. Now, thus we see this, as I mentioned last Sunday, in 1 Corinthians 13 and 10, that which is perfect has come. Hebrews 6, going on to perfection. And some won't do it. Hebrews 12, where the last message comes from him who is in heaven. Revelation 10 and 1 and 7 combined. Malachi 4, 1 and 5 and 6. And Luke 17 and 30. John 14, 12. John 15, 24. You know all those scriptures, and there we've gone many, many times through them. This is when that is all coming out in this hour. Now, the ethical strategic revelation to get us out of here is Malachi 4. Now let's read it. Do you get it? If you fail, come back to this tape again. I don't know how much longer I'll be with you. Remember, this is the truth of thus saith the Lord. It's the truth. It's the scripture. What is being in this day, which is the final revelation, which is the complete revelation, which is the summation, which corrects all the errors and brings what God had upon his heart. Which really is what? Perfect redemption for mankind. Now, like the seven mysteries of the seven last seals, the mysteries of them. The seals had been broken. Doesn't say they're going to be broken, says they have been broken. The seals had been broken, every age had come down. And there they left a lot of scattering. And God, not willing that it should be scattered, he, God, comes back and picks up those things. Well, if he came back, he had to be away. I never saw anybody yet that came back before he's away. There's something here that people are missing. And picks up those things, those doctrines they started, and brought it on out and revealed the whole thing. Same thing he's doing now in revealing the mystery of Christ, how he was God's threefold purpose for the church. Now notice, he's God's threefold purpose for the church, not somebody else. So this is strictly bride food and church food. Oh my. Now, notice the key message here. That this comes, this message, Christ is a mystery of God revealed, comes out of the seventh seal like the Roman candle. Mystery. One, number one, revealing. Number two, preeminent head of the church. Number three, raising us from the dead, taking us back to Eden. And this is all in the appearing. And he himself is doing the appearing, not somebody else. Appearing, manifesting, and revealing. Now notice, God in Christ for the bride is here at this hour, not for anything else. So therefore, the bridegroom is here. So therefore, the Redeemer is here. Subsequently, he is also, in a minor role, the judge. And in a major role, but not truly manifested, to the world, the judge. Because only as judge is he exonerator. And he could not be exonerator unless he's Redeemer. See? And he couldn't be anything other than God himself, because he's going to reverse the law of the word concerning sin, which is it's appointed that a man wants to die, and after that the judgment, and the judgment is here now, and there's no death. So you see, you've got a peculiar situation. So this revelation can only be to a bride. Hasn't got a thing to do with the world. They wouldn't believe that for nothing. Oh, they'd like to believe it if you put it through their church. See? Reveal, Webster says, is to make known. Make known, especially in divine truth. That's what revelation means. Revelation is Christ's way of making himself known to his church. Now watch. Justification, sanctification, the baptism. That's how he did it. And what about today? How's he making himself known now? Complete. Because justification gave way to sanctification. Sanctification way to the baptism. And the baptism to the baptizer. And the token itself is the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, he's not dealing in part anymore, because that which is perfect has come. See, you don't have a measure anymore. The word, the full thing is here. Either the seals are open, the Bible is fully revealed, and he is here doing it, or something wrong with the Bible. All right, now we're going on where we left off last Sunday. Now, you're going to say, oh, Brother Branham, you're just saying this, or you're just making this up or saying it of yourself. He said, no, sir. Now, notice, he made himself known to Peter. Now, if you want to mark that down, you want to read it. Matthew 16, 15, 17, I'll quote it. When he came from Mount Transfiguration, he said, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And some say, oh, they think you're Elijah. Some say you're one of the prophets, Jeremiah, or one of them. But that wasn't what he asked. He said, who do you think that I am now? Not yesterday, but now. Now, there's the church he's talking to. In other words, it was a now church that he was talking to. What do men think that I am? The question then arises in my mind here, what is he today? I'll ask that one. Now that he has been manifested, the point is, can you take the explanation? Because he's manifested. Well, today, Brother Brown says, they say he's a philosopher, just social religion. He's a good man. We believe his teachings are right. It's a subject to live by. I think it'd make us all better if we did. We ought to have our churches and so forth. He said, that's the Santa Claus story. But what is he? Well, he's Elohim, manifesting Luke 17 and 30. See? it's not an expression of some church that we should express that church. Oh, let's face it. What church can express anything but its own churchianity? We believe, Holy Father, great Pope, what? You ought to trace your spiritual ancestry back to a bunch of whoremongers. Popes that had their own sisters defiled, filled their papal choir with their own illegitimate bastards. If you want to go back to that and the Protestants the same thing, you go right ahead. And you'll express it. And they will express it. There's nothing ever going to stop them. And they're going to all get together and express it all together. Why? Because God's expressed himself.
Amen.
So you say, you'll express the church. Now he said, it's a life that you don't live yourself, but he comes in you and lives by himself. And you don't become a prisoner to any human intellectual being at all. You're led by the Spirit. Now, when you begin hearing what I'm reading here, you better think in terms of Brother Branham and don't think in terms of yourself or the church. Or you're going to find yourself high, dry, and stranded. Because you're going to make Brother Branham a liar and Elijah's going to be a group. One day we're going to have a quorum and get this whole thing straightened up. Hogwash. Now, you say, now, Brother Branham, speaking to yourself here. You might think I was losing my mind. Maybe a man that loses his mind does that. Now you ask me, am I going crazy? But if you have the mind of Christ, Christ expresses himself through you. Shows you that it's he. You've not lost your mind. Now when do we go through that experience? None of us. None of us. We don't go through it. If you think you're losing your mind over something that God has proven manifest and then revealed out publicly, there's always been something wrong with your mind in the first place. I'll tell you why the minds are all mixed up. We can't let our thinking go and find out when the prophet's talking about himself when he's not. And understand the subject. This is Christ revealed and how he's revealed. And this is a mystery. And if it's a mystery, we're not going to know unless somebody tells us. Because Jesus had to tell the apostles the mystery of the parables. He said, it's for you to know and them not to know. And he turned right around and told them. Didn't tell them. And Alpha's Omega, and he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's got to do the same thing now. There's no two ways about it. Christ expresses himself through you. Shows it is he. You've not lost your mind. Some people are under illusions, under delusions of things, go out and become insane. Well, we know that's wrong. That's the devil trying to impersonate the real thing before it gets here. There's a bunch of people going out there getting insane to impersonate us? Fact. Not talking about us. I don't care if he does use the plural. He's talking about himself, his ministry. I wouldn't give you two bits for this for me. No way, shape, and form. I'll be right back where I was. If I haven't got an absolute or somebody that got to God for me, according to God's own word, I'll be back where I was.
Amen.
And forget it. What have I come out of? Nothing. I've only come out to further bondage. Now I'm stuck in between now. I'm like old Gramps. You know, in Gasoline Alley, he got stuck in the door. He couldn't get out and he couldn't get in. That's about like me. Old Gramps can't get in, can't get out. But a real man is to lose his own thoughts and his own thinking and not come up blindly like that. Like blind by the devil. No, sir. You come up with your right senses and Christ takes you over and expresses himself. Luther expressed Christ. West expressed Christ. Who's doing it now? Not you and me and not some church, because he denied the church's power to do it. Then who in the name of high heaven is doing it? It better be William Branham. Of course, he hasn't fooled too many people, just fooling a bunch of nuts like this. Fooled William Branham. And now to the world, you're an insane person. Now, if you're insane, you're actually insane, then there's nothing. What are you going to do about it, see? The devil can't take you in complete control, he said, number one. He'll make you do everything contrary to the word. But when Christ takes you over, he'll express that word right through because it's he. He is the word. Now we're talking about logos, not miniature. Then you can see the expression of Christ. Luther expressing, Wesley expressing, what today William Branham expressing. Well, there it is, or forget it. Not some illusion of some sort. But a real, genuine Christ expressing himself right through you. How beautiful. What's today? Elijah. Christ restore. Elijah restore. Elijah of this hour is the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Not a man God, but comes by a prophet. See? Now watch. He said, who do you say I am? He's asking the church. His 12. Out of the millions of that day, he asked 12 his church. All right, Matthew 16. Is Alpha. The Omega is Luke 17. See? Who is it? Who is William Branham? He let him know. And they turned it down. In the millions, in the days of Noah, he asked 8. See? And he said, as it was in the days of Noah, it'll be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. Now that's appearing. Wherein 8 souls were saved. I don't say there's going to be 8 saved. Now don't get that all wrong. Never said that. I don't know how many is going to be saved in that last moment to rapture the little group. It'll be a small group, I'll tell you that. For straight is the gate and narrow is the way. Few there be that find it. But when the great ransom body through all ages comes up, then that's going to be a great throng there. Revelation 7 expresses it. A great number which no man can number. Through all ages that came up. Those that walked in the light of the Bible as far as it was revealed to them. Well, what if there's further light today? Then those are out. That's what happened. God gave Luther light that doomed the whole Catholic regime. They're all gone. All gone. No hope. Let's take them out. All right, Wesley came, brought light. That doomed the Lutherans. Pentecost came, that doomed the Wesleyans. Now this is light on the scene. That takes the whole bunch. They're all out. There's nothing more going to come. And we know now the Wesleys had more light than Luther did. We know Pentecost outshone Wesley. See? Certainly it does, because it just gradually lets loose as it did down through the prophets and so forth, till it was perfectly made known, the Godhead bodily in Christ, that which is perfect has come. Not some little prophecy like that poor brother out there in Phoenix tries to teach. Don't you listen to him telling you the prophet's wrong. That which is in part is over 7 parts make the whole. It always did, and it always will. And hasn't got a thing to do with you and me prophesying or anybody prophesying. This is the word revealed. This is Christ himself, Logos. Now printed page and Logos reality comes together through a prophet. Now we see it. We'll show you. It's face to face. Okay. And now, the Christ in the church. Not out here somewhere in a bride. The Christ in the church is just being made known. The Christ in the church, therefore, was not previously made known, as he is made known now because he wasn't in full measure. The full conception of God in a human form is now manifested again in the form of a spirit, in a pillar of fire, moving through a prophet, which is scriptural God in the prophets. See? Now, and now, at this time, for this hour, the Omega, Matthew 16, Christ in the church as he was then, is being made known. The whole thing is the revelation of God to take Eve back to her right position again with her husband. And God is the husband of the church, and the church is his bride. So therefore, there ought to be messages preached on the husband. Because that's what he is. That's, he's got to know her mate, Brother Branham said in Feast of the Trumpets. All right. What was he known previously? He was known, according to Paul, as Christ in him crucified. That's all he knew. But Paul said, I would like to know him after the power of the resurrection. I'd like to tell you about him at that time. But he couldn't do it. But today it can be told. Because now he's Philippians 3, Ephesians 1, 17 to 23. He's Revelation 1, 13 to 18. Let's go to Revelation 1, 13 to 18. And in the midst of seven candlesticks, one like the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about the paps with a golden girdle. That's the judge. His head, and his head and his hair were white like wool, white as snow, eyes were flame of fire, feet like they were fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace, and his voice was the sound of many waters. And he had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp-two-edged sword. His countenance was as the sun shines in his strength. That's the sun that was in the east and here in the west. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. He laid his right hand upon me, saying, Fear not, I am the first and the last. All right, now this is the whole of it. If he's the Alpha and Omega, everything is here. All of it's here. Now watch, I am he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore, and I've come down with the keys of hell and death. I'm going to open and I'm going to shut. I'm going to open the gates of hell so the dead can come out. I'm going to shut the gates of hell so they can't prevail against you. I'm going to open death for all the world out there, but I'm going to shut death to take you out. He's come down with keys. Didn't say now the Catholic can say all about Peter. And the Protestant can be just as stupid. But this is he himself.
Amen.
The same one was manifest in flesh. God. The fullness of the Godhead bodily. See? And remember, he didn't have to do everything that God did in Genesis. Because this was primarily for the purpose of redeeming what God had done in Genesis. So therefore, God will not repeat himself. God will keep expanding and glorifying and himself, revealing himself. And now the Christ in the church is just being made known. That was back in 65. What about 1986? 21 years later. Would you look back in 1965 and say you know what you know now? If that's all you know, well, I haven't wasted my time because surely somebody's got something. I don't know if you don't have it, I have, but I'm sure you do have. This is Revelation 10 and 1. Okay, it's uniting time, it is word time, it is bride time, wedding time, head time to raise the dead, it is trumpet time for the rapture, it is king time for the crowning. Because the bride has to take the veil and put it on his shoulder, the same as Halley's Comet did when it made the eight-tailed veil go over the shoulder of Orion, the hunter. Peter, when he called, said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. As Peter trumpeted the divinely inspired revelation in Matthew 16, so does Brother Branham, according to 1 Thessalonians 4 and 1, trumpet the shout, which is the message of Ephesians 1, 17. The Lord from heaven shall descend with the shout. Now, what is that shout? Let's find out what that shout is exactly. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. That the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, you may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of the inheritance of his inheritance is. And after you get that, which is the revelation, then you're ready for the resurrection. The resurrection power comes. Now that's the shout. There's no mystery there. Why? Because we've been given the keys. See, no problem. Don't think I'm smart to get this. It's the prophet gave it to us. Now watch. Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona. Blessed art thou, for flesh and blood never revealed this to you. You never learned it from some school. But my Father which is in heaven has revealed it to you. Notice what he said to him. Upon this rock, that's Peter, the predestinated seed of God, that he received this light and gave to him the keys to the kingdom. Upon this rock of revelation of who Jesus Christ is. He's the full manifested God. Upon this rock, not of Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, and him being the second person. Upon this rock, that's, you know, the fully manifested God, the Holy Ghost. I'll build my church, and the gates of hell will never shake it down, never prevail against it. I'll build my church upon this rock, a revelation of Jesus Christ. Today he is the Son of Man, yet he's the Son of God. He's the judge, he's the prophet, he's the king, see? Now exactly, we see here Brother Branham saying what was said in Revelation 1 and 18. I have the keys. You see? And that's the same. That's taken from over here in Matthew 24 and 14. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all the nations. Now that's the gospel. What gospel is that? It's the end of the gospel of redemption, for redemption is closing out. God himself, the Alpha and the Omega. Now look. Christ in you makes him the center of life of the revelation. Alright? If Christ in you makes you the center, without in you, you'll never get a revelation. If Christ in you makes him the center of the revelation, then if you don't have him in you, you'll never get it. And he'll never be the center of a revelation. In other words, he revealed is what it's all about. And nothing else. We've turned a corner. See? Everybody wants a big program. End time evangelism is telling what happened. Who came, how he came, and who is here now. See? Read Hebrews 6 again and see what's all left behind. We've come on to a conclusion. The bag is almost entirely stuffed. It's time to draw the strings. The box car is ready for sealing. To be taken off to its destiny. See? Alright, upon this rock. Not upon the Son of the Ghost. Upon this rock I'll build my church. The gates hell won't prevail against it. I'll build my church upon this rock, a revelation of Jesus Christ. Look, Christ in you makes him the center of life of the revelation. See? Christ's life in you. Now notice they're the same thing. Christ in you and Christ's life is the same thing. The life of Christ in any measure. God would never trust that fullness to just anybody. That doesn't go to the whole church. Once in a while to prophets. Christ's life in you makes him the center of the revelation. In other words, without him in you, you'll never get it. Christ in the Bible makes the Bible a complete revelation of Christ. True. But you and I don't get it without Christ in us. Christ in you makes you the complete revelation of the whole thing. Sure, because everything... That doesn't go to the whole church. Once in a while to prophets. Christ's life in you makes him the center of the revelation. In other words, without him in you, you'll never get it. Christ in the Bible makes the Bible a complete revelation of Christ. True. But you and I don't get it without Christ in us. Christ in you makes you the complete revelation of the whole thing. Sure, because everything he's revealed is for us. And we're the recipients. In other words, the manifestation of it all is going to be in us. Right now it's in the revelatory form. The spirit of the eagle. The creature of the hour. The spirit it symbolizes. One was a lion, one was an ox, one was a man. Now it's revelation, prophet. Everything goes to prophet, prophet. Oh, you silly jerks. Prophet, prophet. That's all I know. That's all I'm going to know.
Amen.
Go to your church is what you know. Go to your manure heads. Fine by me. I got no problem. You'll have worse than halitosis. You got a rotten word in your mouth, you'll see what happens. Because that's all you'd have to confess with. Christ in you makes you the complete revelation of the whole thing. Now he's talking of an end time bride. Not Christ in you that's been going through the ages, but Christ in you makes you. So let's go to Hebrews 11 chapter and see what we're talking about, what Brother Branham talked about. 38, 39, 40. And all these, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise, God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. We are made perfect now. The same as they. Because, you see, they get the measure to bring them out that subsequently followed them. Now there's no more measure. That brings a conclusion which is perfection. And the whole thing is perfectly drawn up because God himself appears in the pillar of fire. The ministry of the Son of Man. All these things coming at this hour. See? See that what God's trying to do? That's exactly 1 John, the third chapter. A couple of verses there. The holy manner of love of the Father bestowed upon us, we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knows us not because it knew not him. They're not going to know us today because there's no way they're going to know a bride at this hour. No recognition period. They won't know the prophet or anything else. Beloved, now we're the sons of God. And it has never yet come into existence what we shall be. That a group of people are going to get transformed. But we know that when he shall appear in his true character and make himself absolutely known, we shall be like him. Because we as the elect are going to see him as he is, which is to comprehend exactly God of this hour. There he is, and he's working through a prophet. You do what you want. Take it home or leave it. I care less. The church is not in it. Now this makes the word of this hour the living Bible. It's exactly. All right. What is the new birth then? You say, well, Brother Branham, what is the new birth? It's the revelation of Jesus Christ personally to you. Now remember, what is the new birth? It's the baptism with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Not you joined a church. You shook a hand. You did something different. You said a creed. You promised to live by code of rules. But Christ, the Bible. In other words, the Christ of the Bible. Okay. Now, he is the word that was revealed to you. And no matter what anybody says, what takes place, it's Christ. In other words, what he's talking about his ministry again. What took place is not of a man, and it's not Satan. Now, the church went so far as to say, William Branham couldn't do those. God is doing it, and we're going to get the secret and take it away from him. Because that can be done. Because we got scripture for it. There's no big shots. There's nothing to come. It was all done in Jesus. No more prophets, no more nothing. We got it, so we just carry on. So they interfered to try to take the ball, and they did take the ball. That is, they took what they thought was the ball. Let's say they took the initiative. They couldn't take the ball. Not a man. Not Satan revealing. Now, the thing is, if they admitted it had to be God, how come they weren't astute enough to realize what the man was saying was a God? No, because he said something different. That's where Israel was. It's the same old problem. Every single time a man opens his mouth, he spoils the whole thing. The fight is on. So they couldn't take William Branham. Couldn't take God. He was that word, he is the word that was revealed to you. In other words, the revelation is positively one of Christ, making it all one and same. All right then. Pastor, priest, whatever it might be, it's Christ in you. In other words, he's saying it's Christ alone that you get him. Never mind your church. Don't add a thing and don't take a thing. That is the revelation that the church was built upon. All right. The elect of every age then. Every seed will recognize and follow Christ's revealed. Never changed yet. You say, well, I'm a Lutheran. I'm Baptist. I'm Presbyterian. Doesn't mean that. Not a thing. Not a snap of the finger. What is it? It's Christ being revealed, and he is the Word. And when the Word is revealed. Now, we often say, and when this happens, something else will happen. That's not what he's saying here. He's saying when the Word, at the time the Word is revealed, it expresses itself. In other words, a period of revelation, there has to be an expression. So if he, the Word, is going to reveal himself, he better do something about it. Yeah. That's what he did. See, that makes the whole thing. It expresses itself. One, God revealed, is vindicated and manifested. Or that it is God being revealed is perfectly indicated. Vindicated is manifest. God revealed, then in explanation. God revealing his word of the hour. our devotion to the revelation and that word in us, ready to be revealed at His will and according to His purpose. So therefore, that's how it works right down the line there. See, God's revealed, first of all, through vindicated manifestation. It's got to be God. Secondly, it's got to be explained. Thirdly, He's got to bring us that word of that hour, that message, bring it out. Then we are devoted to that word with the same spirit upon us that was in the prophet. And we're ready any time for God to reveal Himself in us for according to His own purpose, whatever He wants. And it's not going to be a great big ministry like signs and wonders. That's over. See, that's God's purpose for Jesus Christ, was to express Himself, to take His own laws and live by His laws and fulfill His laws by death. See? But now what's He doing? That's the next thing, God. You've got to learn what He's doing. But then He said, Christ, God died in flesh in order to condemn sin in the flesh, that He might bring to Himself a glorious bride, redeemed back, that he that will believe only the word of God and not swap it like Eve did for intellectual conceptions of man. You see? Now, there's your rebirth. And the rebirth alone can do this, because Paul said the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God. When he gets the Spirit of God, he can receive the supernatural understanding. So at this time, man is completely sealed in. And his seal is complete as the Antichrist seal, because he's been sealed in the forehead and in the hand. His mind is taken over by the Word of God, and his life is taken, his works are taken over by the Word of God. Not dead works, but living works, and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, let's go further. That's Christ's idea. That's God's idea. The new birth reveals this. And if a man says he's born again and tries to place these promises of Christ for these last days in some other age. Now, the full revelation of God is what he's talking about. The manifestation proving it is God and the explanation and revelation showing that this is what God wants to get across to you. And you say that's for another age. You deny Hebrews 13 and 8, making him Christ yesterday but not today. Then that man or that person has been in a delusion by Satan. Now listen, and it's that man, and he's talking now about himself. Because remember, there is no free-for-all understanding and revelation. It does not come by a group of people, it comes by one person. So he's talking about himself. See? So now he's comparing the men out there with himself. And if people out there, or that person, in contradistinction to Brother Branham, who does say this, understands it, and proves it, if he believes that, and it doesn't manifest itself through him, in other words, he can say anything he wants, and he is not what God is moving through. You know that's not the man. Listen to me. Now, he just brings up this for the Baptists and Methodists and those guys, like Mark 16, these signs fall in belief. Go into all the world and preach to every age. Cast out devils, speak with tongues. All the great manifestations and gifts that would follow. That they shall, not maybe, or they ought to, they will. Heaven and earth will pass away, but His word won't. What about the Pentecostals? That doesn't hit them at all. They say, well, see, there, we got the truth. No. No way. Deuteronomy 18's in there. So it's Christ expressing Himself in the individual, whether he's intellectual, whether he doesn't know his ABCs. Half the apostles didn't know them. But that's mostly hitting your Brother Branham himself, but it also comes on us to a degree. But they knew Christ. They never took heed to Peter and John knowing that they had been out of some seminary. They said they took heed and noticed they'd been with Christ when he healed the lame man at the gate. They knew they had been with Christ. The new birth, remember, the rebirth is the baptism of the Holy Ghost, is Christ, is a revelation. In other words, you couldn't possibly have Christ without the revelation. So if you've got some phony, you've got some revelation of yesterday, you haven't got the revelation today. If you're not current, you're not born again. That's what he's saying right here. God has revealed you this great mystery. In other words, the new birth is Christ. The baptism of the Holy Ghost is Christ. It's a revelation. God has revealed you this great mystery, and that's a new birth. Now, what are you going to do when you get all that group together? Now, that's, he said, the angel took him. Now, remember, he said the angels came down in order for him to get the people together, which we saw in 2 Thessalonians 2 and 1, by the gathering to our Lord Jesus Christ through the message brought by those angels. Now, he says right here, the revelation we're talking about. God has revealed this great mystery. That's a new birth. You've got it. Now, what are you going to do when you get all that group together, where the revelation is perfectly in harmony, and God expressing it through His Word by the same actions, the same thing He did, making the Word manifest? He said, now what are you going to do when you've got the assurance that you've got a group around the Word that is manifested by John 14 and 12, greater works than this, all the Scripture, Luke 17, 30, John 15, 24, all of that. What's it going to be? Now here's the answer. Oh, if the church only knew its position. They're already gathered. Unit, bride. It will one day. Then the rapture will go when it knows what it is. In other words, the identification, the depth of the revelation of the identification we now possess is not to the extent that the dead can come out of the ground. But the mechanics are here. Now notice, you say, Brother Branham, but that isn't so. Oh, yes, it's the truth. You see, it's the strategic position, which is the shout that put us in divine order. True oneness, true identification. Lying in the sun ripening, the great ripener, the great husband. All right. This is now. Did you notice? Paul never knew Jesus physically. Paul never knew him that way. The only way that Paul knew him was by a revelation, by a vision. Is that right? Paul only knew Jesus by revelation, just like Peter did. Peter had a revelation. I was going to explain. Peter had seen Jesus in the flesh, but he didn't know him by flesh, because Jesus said, flesh and blood didn't reveal it to you. Even my own life didn't reveal it to you, but my Father which is in heaven has revealed the thing to you. That is the word of God. And upon this rock I'll build my church. Peter didn't know him by flesh. Now that proves the point again that even when God interprets by manifesting and expressing that word, someone has to explain it and reveal it to us. And we have to have something inside to take it. So therefore, there has to be a people God is already prepared to get it. And what happens? The prepared people are gotten ready by that. Let's go to Luke, the first chapter, and see that perfectly in case you've forgotten about it. 1 and 17. And he shall go before God, the Lord God of Israel in the spirit and power of Elijah, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, even the disobedient, the unknowing, to the wisdom of the just, to make ready the people prepared for the Lord. So therefore, they had to have one then, they got to have one now. People say, oh, I need you, Jesus. No, they don't need him. Because they don't like what he's doing. See? Now, it has to be explained. You must believe that word of the hour. Otherwise, men will run with their own ideas of it and will end up, maybe, could end up blaspheming. They got to believe what's going on. Brother Branham, what are you all about? If you only know who I am, he said, you'd all be healed. Men walked and handled him and everything else. That's what John said, we handle the word of God. Paul had something greater than any of the apostles did, see? They said, well, I've got more of a revelation than you, Paul, because, you know, I walk with him. I went fishing with him one day. I heard him talk. He sat in the boat with me, and after he told me, let's go over here and fish in this place, and we get more fish, and we did it, see? See, we saw him do those things. Is that tape ready to run out now, Bob? Oh, you turned it over. I never get your signals. I got to get your signals somehow. Maybe we'll have to put you over here, because if the tapes don't get the continuity, it's pretty bad. But Paul saw him after he was dead, buried, rose again, and expressed himself. Now, what else? Expressed himself in the pillar of fire that led the children of Israel. Knowing, Paul, being a Jew, would have never called that Lord unless he had seen the expression that he was back, the same yesterday, today, and forever. That's true. Said Paul, in other words, I'm the same God today that I was yesterday. Here I am, the same light, the pillar of fire, that Moses talked to in the burning bush. No wonder he could separate law from grace over in the book of Hebrews. He met the same pillar of fire. He said, I'm Jesus, whom you persecute, and he is here today in the same manner. You see, you can't fail there. So William Branham, like Paul, could divide the word. Only this time, the church ages, the seals, and the truth from light, in order, the truth from darkness, in order to bring us a pure word of God. In other words, this is face to face. The prophet and God face to face. For the same pillar of fire, expressing himself and vindicating himself the same. That's he said, is here today, revealing the mystery of God that's been hid since the foundation world. In other words, he said, this one that made himself known so I could bring you the seals has revealed himself in the threefold division of revelation, preeminence, back to Eden. Paul only knew him by revelation. Peter knew him by revelation. He walked with him and talked with him. Now, I've just said that he was the Word. Now, a scholar can sit down and read that Word till he can just tie your mind up in it anyway. See if he wants to, because he's smart and brilliant. Get a Catholic priest, or not so much that, as a good trained theologian in the Bible, a Baptist, Presbyterian, or something. He'll make you think that you don't know anything. See, when it comes to talk, why, see, because he has known him in the flesh, the Word, and he can, therefore he can talk. That's all he can do. See, any revelation that comes by the mind is not spiritual. The mind is a source that you have to use. It's a vessel you have to use. But it is not the source of the knowledge. Now, but the only way that you're saved is to know him by revelation. What's the revelation of the hour? Son of Man.
Yes.
See? End time evangelism. To illustrate, I can take the Presbyterian doctrine and tell you Pentecostal till you can't move. I can take Baptist doctrine and show you Pentecostal a million things you know nothing of. That's right. But that's not it. That's not his church. That's not his church. Now, his church is himself revealed. Amen. Do you see it? And expressed by the word itself that he has gotten. I'm going to just read two sentences and leave what's in between. But the only way that you're saved is to know him by revelation. His church is himself revealed. See? In other words, that revelation of this hour, you've accepted it. You are the ones that set forth and show that you are that is there. See, his church is himself revealed and expressed by the word itself that he is God. You've taken that and said, I believe that 100%. That's a revelation. I have it. And that's what you have. People are confusing today gifts with the true spirit of God. And remember, there are two spirits in the world and they're just a razor blade apart. So people, you see, can't accept this. They say, well, hey, look at all that I've got falling me. Well, have it follow all you want. No problem me. I'll get anybody. How can you say Father, Son, and Holy Ghost and then be baptized in it? Heathens. Right. Like he said, Methodist, Baptist, witch doctors. Not W-H-I-C-H, W-I-T-C-H. How can you say you know Jesus Christ, he is the Word, when there's not a scripture in the Bible, there's not a place anywhere anyone's ever baptized in the name of Father, Son, and Holy Ghost? In other words, your revelation must be absolutely one of the Word. And another thing too, anybody to worship God apart from this revelation is a son of Cain.
Amen.
That's what it is. You can't get away from it. You look at, there's got to be a decision someplace, brother. This is dividing line. When God took eight in the ark, that was it.
Yeah.
People just want to play around. Or they say, well, you see today there's portholes in the ark, and they can open the portholes and drag us nice people in. Or there's little beams out there, little, you can hang out. There's a lot of life rafts which jump in. Too late. I don't know if people got an idea, brother, sister. Sure isn't the Word of God. And you Jesus only people, just using the name Jesus for baptism. I'm personally acquainted with four or five Jesus myself. So you see what your denomination leads you into? See? That's darkness, the expression of Cain, who brought fruits instead of blood. Now where's the oneness people? According to Brother Branham, they're lost. Now do you think they like him because he said that? Oh, they're gonna make lies. Oh, they spread their lies. You ought to hear some of the lies I hear. But what's the use, though? It's ridiculous. But the revelation came through the blood, through Jesus Christ, who is the blood of God, created blood in the womb of Mary. And Paul knew him by revelation. That's how we know him today. The only way you could know it. Not say, I'm Methodist. That means nothing. I'm Baptist. That means nothing. I'm Catholic. That's nothing. But by the revelation that God has revealed the Word to you. And that's now he's talking about. He is the Word. How do you know it's revealed? It lives itself and expresses itself through you. Well, there's no way that we know. You got to know from him. Then that word can begin to express itself through you. Because for the first time you got the living word. Before you didn't have it. See? Right, people, if you don't understand this and put this in the first person where it belongs all the time, you're going to come away with an Elijah ministry. Whether you know it or not. You're consciously or unconsciously acquiescing to a false doctrine. You cannot get a revelation by yourself. The prophet cannot get a revelation by himself. Moses stood by the bush. What is going on here? God said, well, take your shoes off and I'll begin to tell you.
Amen.
I'm God. I'm going to do some revealing. And you're going to go down there and do some revealing. And they're going to listen to you. Well, as I can't talk. Well, he said, Aaron can. I'll give him to you. So it's always been. So don't ever put yourself any place but where you are. You can only, when the eye is single, the body is full of light. You get a lot of eyes, and they get cross-eyed. Listen, I'm going to tell you something. The eye of you and me cannot look into the light. Only a prophet can. If we were to hit the pillar of fire face to face, we'd disintegrate. You saw that the Raiders of the Lost Ark. All right, that's exactly what happened to you. It's a good thing you and I don't see him. We can only see a reflection anyway. We're protected. Well, not quite exactly as a lost ark. You know what I'm talking about. It's not a collective you, it's a singular you. In other words, forget the grammar and get on with the truth. Churches have long forgotten that great revelation. That's right, revelation of truth, they've forgotten it. They went off. Now, when Luther raised up, he was a great man. He had the revelation of that day, but what happened? A bunch of Rickies got in, flat top haircuts like we have today. Rickettas and all of them got around there. Now, he's talking about the flat heads, you see. They weren't as smart as they thought they were. Face of the man, see. The first thing you know, it's a mess. That expression, if you only know, only knew the numerology of the Bible, knew what Elvis means, a Ricky, that means cat and rat. And they say fat cat, and Elvis sure was fat before he died. Rat means sneaky. I guess, I don't know. Ricky. Just like, why did Jesus say there's nothing to that? Why did Jesus? Then he said, there's nothing to that. Your name there isn't? That name could only come in these last days for this last day people. Why did Jesus change Abram's name to Abraham and Sarai to Sarah? Why did he change Saul to Paul? Why did he change Simon to Peter and so forth? You see, certainly means something. The name could not be spoken till that day. That's the reason we've got these hellish things that we've got in the earth today because of such things. The whole human race is corrupted. It's gone, see, and that's what it is. Remember what Red Michener said over here in his book on South Africa? Integrity in words protects integrity in life. If the word is corrupted, everything that stems from it will be evil. That's absolutely the third chapter of, what is the second chapter or third chapter of Genesis, second chapter, I guess. Then the fall. Now notice, he was all right, he was in his day. That's Luther was all right in his day. And he had the revelation, but as soon as he left, look what they did. Wesley had a message. Look what it did. The old early Pentecostals, look what they did. They got a bunch of men together. Exactly the same thing that God by grace sent Israel, a pillar of fire, a prophet, a sacrifice, and showed himself among them and brought them out of Egypt across the Red Sea. And they wanted the law so they could have dignitaries. They could have something to do into it. Yep, they wanted a partner. They let, now we're going to engineer this thing ourselves. And what did they do? They were left in the wilderness for 40 years to wander, and not one of their organizations went over there. Not one of the organizations went over there. Caleb and Joshua, the only two that stood out and said, we're able to take it. Notice, we are able to take it. Watch the words, able to take it. They look at the word of God. Every one of them died in the wilderness. And Jesus said they were eternally gone. Right. After he had showed them his blessings and his power in their ages, like Luther and Wesley and so forth, and that's Hebrews 6. But the people all say, oh, that's a sign that you came up to receiving Christ and you backed away, so shame on you. Hogwash is this message. It's the whole earth gone. They said, our fathers ate man in the wilderness. What are they doing? Like their forefathers, at the time of the Exodus, they repined and said, oh, would God, would God, would God. And the same bunch, our fathers ate, look at us, repining. Always going back, always going back. And I've seen that in this message here. So many people, not around here. I don't travel the roads anymore. Thank God to get rid of that crap and balderdash, that nonsense. Want to go back to Pentecost. Go on back to Pentecost where we are. Go on back. You never came out in the first place. If you can find something good amongst the dead, go ahead. People think this church smells like a morgue here because we're not yipping and screaming. There's more life here, brother, sister, than 15 million screams in just one amen. Silent in breath, there's more life and power than 15 billion amen outside this message. For all the screaming, jumping, and dancing, raising the dead and everything else. Because this is that spoken by the prophet Joel. This is that word of God at the end time. He said, they're everyone dead. That's eternal separation from God. And at the end time, it's neither root nor branch. It goes right from the tribulation to the white throne. It's over. Everyone did. Their carcass perished in the wilderness. They're dead. I'm the bread of life that came from God out of heaven. They couldn't see it. They just couldn't see it. Now it's full of wicked hills. All right. The church has long forgotten it. They accepted intellectual messages, intellectual membership, knowledge, instead of the revelation of the truth of the Word. Now, there's your identification, not by church, but by the truth. Pentecost is just historical now. That's all it is. They finished. It's purely Laodicean, full of gifts and no giver. Now, look here. They say today, do you believe that God commissioned us into all the world and healed the sick and preached the gospel against the devils? Oh, yes, yes, but. That's right, but, you see. A lady talked me the other day, said, but all the churches are in harmony. I said, there isn't one in harmony with one another. There's a Catholic standing there. I said, what about you? You're a Methodist and that's a Catholic. Are you in harmony with another? I said, this Pope trying to unite them together, that's a good thing for all that kind of people. But the Church of God has nothing to do with it, not a thing. It's out from the whole bunch. Yes, sir. You wouldn't unite that together. The only and one believes in something, and the other, Methodist take sprinkling, the Baptist immersion, and both of them denying the Holy Ghost in His fullness and the power. Now, see, that's today. They won't deny the Holy Ghost, period. They can't, because they got a Trinity baptism. But they'll deny what the Holy Ghost is doing in this hour. See? Rejecting of God in this hour, because this message is a current message of this hour, coming out of the seals. The one that came with the seals there, this is about him. First he told what he was doing, now he tells you about himself. And when that happens, the laying in the sun is going to bring about a people that will bring about a resurrection. They said, we receive the Holy Ghost when we believe. The Bible said, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believe? There's a difference. See, that's right. See, and they say, we're Catholic Church. We started early. We did this. The message said, we were based upon the Bible. Jesus said, these signs fall into leaf. Now, where is it at? The works that I do shall you do also. Every creature, every person believes in him. Now, where is it at? That's his words. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will not pass away. Now, where is it at? Remember, the Pentecosts aren't in this. Turns right around and says, you Pentecost, because you heal the sick and raise the dead. You think you got it? Well, prophet, make up your mind. This man's chewing tobacco, and he's a tobacco chewer. This man's chewing tobacco, and he's not a tobacco chewer, something like that. It's kind of crazy. You got to know where Brother Branham stands. He stands in one thing, vindicated truth. The revelation. And you a part of it? Where is it at? It's a hybrid condition. Now look here. You take a big fine grain of corn, hybrid, and you take that hybrid corn. It's pretty corn. But you plant it. What do you get? Little stalk comes up like this, turns yellow and wilts down. That's the way every denomination is when it's hybridized with man's words mixed with God's word. It'll come up with two signs and wonders. And what Jesus said, believing about the word, it turns yellow and says, we can't accept that. And they go on back. See? That's how they die. They hybridize. Just old Cain, you see. Hybridized the word of God. Just like all those other spies did that went over and looked at Canaan. They came over there and said, oh, we look like grasshoppers in the sight of them. We can't take them. The Amalekites and these. What are we going to do to them? And they went back and Caleb and Joshua being thoroughbreds. There's your thoroughbred. See, the true thoroughbred knows he's mammy and pappy. He knows he's from God. True being thoroughbreds, amen, by the word of God, knew God and said, I give you that land. We are more than able to take it. The fact is, God is here giving, but people aren't taking. And he's more willing to give than people are to take. And the point is, can you take the revelation and the promise of God, or are you going to qualify it with your background and the veils over your face? You can't do it. Or you're finished. Now, they believe in taking. Lying in the sun. But you got all these birds running around saying, well, he didn't say lie in the sun and rot. How are you going to lie in the sun and rot? You see their lives. They stand up against this message, live in adultery and everything else. You watch. I tell you, if we're right, we are going to go down that road, servants of God elect. If we're wrong, it's going to show up. It'll show up. Don't worry. You bet it will. Because he that hath this will purifieth himself as he is pure. And it won't be something from the mouth coming out either. And some big boast and trying to run the other guy down because to make you look good. They better look in the mirror a few times to see what does look good. Then put the shade over the mirror. Actions can speak louder than words. I've seen these guys talk their love and they're a bunch of seducers. Brother Branham was no seducer. He didn't talk soft and sweet. He carried a big stick. But he carried that stick in love. His life was a life of love, but his words were the words of God. Sir Jesus Christ carried a big stick. You bet he did. He was loving and kind. He is love. But he put those fellows in their place in a hurry. We're not trying to put anybody in their place. We're not acting as judges. But we preach the word of Almighty God. Stand for truth. Stand for life. Stand for all these things. But you got to put first things first. And there's no rebirth outside that revelation. If you are truly born again, you will be one with that revelation. And the church will come to the place of perfection. And the perfection lies where Brother Branham is placing it right in this message here, what it's all about. See, people don't want to do it. See, we're more than able to take it. It depends on where you were born from. If you're born of the Word of God, God's Word has the preeminence in His church. That's what He died for. That's His purpose, that He might be able to achieve to have preeminence working in His church. Let the Word of God shine forth first, no matter what anything else looks like. I don't care if the intellectual says this or that. Nothing to do with it. God's Word said so. We are more than able to take it. Let's just take a peek at 1 Peter here, the first chapter. I guess it's the 23rd verse that I want somewhere in there. And he said here, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the Word of God, which lives and abides forever. Out of it comes pure love and nothing else but. See, that's the Word of God, Tom. Only churchianity will keep people from it. And it does every single time. Organization does it. If I preached that in my church, a minister told me I'd be preaching to the four posts of the church. I said, I'd preach to that. God's Word says so. We can do it. God said do it. Amen. In other words, children can be raised up as stones, just like Jesus said. Oh, here they excuse themselves for this. See, that's why they're blind to the message at the end time, this last day when God is proving Himself. They try to class it some kind of spiritist, or what shall I call it? Some mental illusion or something of that order. See, they try to make it something like it isn't. I'm going to close here because I want to go back and read Hebrews 3 and bring you some very enlightening material concerning this portion right here. So we're going to put this down here for, what is it? What's the Sunday, the 10th? Oh, not 10th, my foot, it's the 13th, not but the 6th, what's 17th? That's last Sunday, this was 70. Okay, all right. We've come this far to page 42. We're about halfway finished. By the grace of God, we'll, with some help from the Lord, real help, we'll continue. Now, you see this now, that this message comes out of the seal, seventh seal, just like a Roman candle. That the seven seals, in a certain way, were what this is all about. In other words, if you couldn't come up from the ages to the seals, out of which the seventh seal, like a Roman candle, going to the millennium, you couldn't be progressing to this revelation to understand the reality of Ephesians 1:17 and the shout of 1 Thessalonians and what we're into, which is that which is going to bring us to that perfection and already is in progress, the mechanics here in perfection, we're waiting now to catch up. So therefore, the whole body can rise. But the whole body is not able to rise yet because they're waiting on us down there. But we have everything that is necessary to bring it. See? And this is where we stand and understand at this point. So let's rise. Kind, gracious Heavenly Father, again we praise and thank You for love, mercy, and grace, Your kindness You bestow upon us. And what You give us by understanding, O God, to know these things that thrills our hearts. And Lord, we know that in there lies that carrier, that conduit of life. The Word is the conduit, Lord, of the Holy Spirit. Thank You, God, for the conduit. Now, Lord, as Brother Branham preaching one time concerning what he saw out in California, that great cascade of fire coming down, said, let the fire fall. Lord, we pray, let the fire fall. The Holy Spirit, now, Lord, begin to fill up every measure of that Word within us. And Lord, where there is a lack of that Word, there would definitely then be a measure of the Holy Spirit, because He couldn't fill it until the measure of the Word is there. So, Lord, help us in this series here, O God. Hastily come to the place where we have that fullness of the Word so that the Holy Spirit can fill every single measure of it and there not be one thing left. We then all together are one mind, the mind of Christ. Certainly, it's going to be a rapture. Certainly do appreciate what the prophet said. Begin to see these things more and more, Lord, by Your grace. More and more they take over our thinking. More and more the veils are ripped away. More and more, Lord, it is all of Thee and all of grace, all of God. We cannot praise enough. Now bless each family represented here. Every single person, Lord, may there be health to our spirits down from deep in our souls. May there be health to our bones. May there be health, O God, joy and prosperity in Jesus Christ. The love of God manifested, faith working by that love. These things we beg tonight, beseech You, Lord, and we are the ready, willing takers by the grace of Almighty God. And unto Him who loved us, we ascribe the honor and glory. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Take the name of Jesus with you.